Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. I don't think I can sing anymore because Michael Jackson's estate owns it. We'll get booted off YouTube and I think I'll get assaulted. So we don't want that. But Bill, we do have a little game today. It's called What Am I Getting You for Your Birthday? And the only way we can really figure that out, this isn't really the exactly what this title means, but we have an intro for something. So let's use it.
Talk about your personal life. Listeners love that stuff.
You guessed it. It's time to get personal.
Somewhat personal. We're going to rewind the clock, Bill. 38 beautiful years to December 14th, 1983. And we're really going to focus on the year. We have a few different categories here. Mm-hmm. But before I go into the categories, do you want to know the prizes you have the ability to win?
Sure.
Okay. So if you correctly answer everything, coming in with the value of $499 is an Xbox Series X that's sitting right over there that I purchased last week. Coming in with a prize value or a gift value of $325, if you answer a certain amount correct, it is, I always say his name wrong, a cameo by Duel Hill from Psych. Is that how you say his name? Duley. Well, you're probably not going to win it. Next tier price is $109 for 16 mixed tiles. After that, we drop significantly. Actually, no, we don't. $50 gift card to a restaurant of choice, local only. A $20 Do You Even Lift pro wrestling tees shirt. A Bray Wyatt Let Me In shorts, which are quite ugly. I think I might be able to show you what they look like, but we'll see if you win them. On clearance at WWEshop.com. Still a little feel bad if we get that one because we're paying a company that doesn't pay the man. Oh, maybe they do. A Leanne Gerber $15 cameo. Who is she? I don't know. And our lowest tier is a cane neck. They call them Gatlers, but it's like those masks that also cover your neck. So your whole under from nose down will look like Kane, the WWE superstar.
All right.
So that is what you're playing for. Categories, Bill, are movies released on December 14th, 1983 sports champions, day of the week, born today, people that were born on December 14th. You'd have to name at least five, and because you should know some just because it's your birthday. And then what was the most popular names in 1983? Which category would you like to start with?
Let me see here. I'll keep my hands off the keyboard so you know I'm not Googling. We'll go top to bottom. Just start.
Okay. Movies released on December 14th throughout the history of time, Bill. Can you name three?
Three. Released on my actual birthday. Into the Spider-Verse?
One.
That might be the only one I can get. Nothing was released today. That's the one I remember most because I was like, oh, I don't even really like Spider-Man, and it wound up being one of my favorite movies. So
it is Spider Week.
That is probably it. Let me say Scream 3.
No, but hell of a shot there. Hell of a shot. Some of the others I thought you may have potentially just because of your fandom of him. Not Another Teen Movie.
All right.
Released on December 14th. Alvin and the Chipmunks. Bird Box. Funny enough. King Kong. Miss Congeniality. A lot of Sandra Bullock. I'm trying to see if there's any other super famous ones here as I go back. Royal Tenenbaums were also released. Dirty Rotten Scoundrels was released. The Jerk was released. Mama's Boy, a favorite of some of our stupid friends. And Vanilla Sky. Vanilla Sky. Next up, Bill, will be 1983 sports champions. Can you name any of the teams that won in the four major sports?
In 1983. So I'm going to say the Edmonton Oilers.
Incorrect.
Damn it.
Islanders.
Okay. And then for basketball, 1983, I should be able to get this. It has to be like Lakers or Celtics. I'm going to say the Celtics.
Incorrect. Not the 76ers.
Ah, oh, fuck.
Xbox is out.
Baseball.
Baseball.
1983. Oakland Athletics.
Baltimore Orioles.
I would have never gotten that. And then what do I have left? Football?
Football. Who won the Super Bowl?
Should be able to get football.
Should be able to.
I won't be able to figure out the year, though. So Patriots were 86, and they played the Bears. So going, I don't know. I'll take a stab in the dark. The football team?
I'm going to give you credit. It is the Washington Redskins at the time, now known as the football team. So there you go. That was pretty damn impressive. Bill, what day of the week was the 14th of December, 1983?
Oh, a Wednesday.
That is correct. That is correct. On a hot streak, as they call it. Bill, can you name five celebrities, I'm going to give credit maybe for less, who were born on December 14th throughout the history of time?
There's not a lot of good ones. And some websites have this discrepancy. I think Nostradamus is technically one of them.
That's one. That's the one I was assuming you would know because he seems super famous.
Anthony Mason, I believe, was born on my birthday.
I don't know who that is, but sure.
He's the former Nick player who shot the free throws like one-handed.
Wait, the Plastic Man, or was that Stacey Augman? I can't remember. Anthony Mason. I'm just going to double check. He's not on like the top 100 famous people. He was born on December 14th. All right, that is two.
I don't know why I know that one so randomly. And then like, there's no other like really good ones I've ever seen. There's like a bunch of like. It's not Tim Nehring, but there's like a million guys like Tim Nehring.
There is a million guys like Tim Nehring.
There's a couple of like websites that have Larry Bird's birthday as the 14th, but it's actually the 7th. Yeah, there's like no cool birthdays for me.
I'll give you one that you probably feel like the Nehrings of the world. Scott Hattieburg.
Okay.
Biggio, Craig Biggio, even though he's
a Hall of Famer. I would never. I like these sucks.
Some of the other ones that are popular, Vanessa Hudgens.
Okay. I probably, like when I originally looked, she might not have been famous.
Yeah. This one probably just recently, but DK Metcalf's birthday is
today. Way. God damn. Yes. Oh, what? Yes. I don't know if this counts. Ty Law's son.
Think about this. He's number 14, born on the 14th. Maybe that could be on one of the gifts if you get a few more right. Patty Duke. Trying to think of anybody. It's really a rough Kyle Shanahan. A lot of sports.
Yeah. Ernie and again, Kyle Shanahan, when I looked it up when I was like 13, wouldn't have been famous.
No, and Scott Hattieburg being the 21st most famous person born in the state. I think you should make this list, and I'm not kidding. Yeah. It is a rough. Dee Wallace from such made-for-TV movies as I Don't Know. All right, and Bill, last one here. In 1983, the name William, I believe your actual name, came in ranked number 16 for men or boys' names. Can you name me the top 10 boys' names of 1983? You only have two X's.
Sean?
So you get two wrong. John, number 9.
All right. I'll take credit for that, even though I said Sean.
Well, I didn't hear that, so I'm going to give you credit because Sean would have been wrong.
All right. Tom or Thomas?
Not in the top 10.
Really?
Think of the most obvious names.
I don't know. Fucking Kevin.
Jesus, Bill. Already two wrong. Three guesses. Well, actually, technically, you got them all wrong, but
James. Give me another. I don't know.
James is number 6. What's the most popular name for men in our like time frame of born? Like you probably like 15 of them in your graduating class.
Anthony?
No.
Michael?
Bingo. Michael was number 1. Go more biblical. What are some of the other biblical names here?
Thomas?
Nope.
I don't know. Jesus?
Christopher, Matthew, David, Joshua, Jason, somehow popular then, Daniel, Robert, Joseph, Justin, Ryan, Brian, Andrew, then Williams. William.
So you doing this like a guessing game for gifts for me is genius because I stink at them.
I think you ended up with 4 correct, which will put you So you really get to choose the Do You Lift Bro or the Let Me In shorts. Let's see if I can give you a peek at these things for all the viewing audience. And then for those who cannot see and subscribe into the podcast, sorry. I'm just going to do the entire.
By the way, Dulé Hill is pricey.
Yeah, $325, you son of a gun. Is this it? All right, let's see. Oh, that was can you see the screen?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so this was the Kane thing.
I really don't want that. No.
No, you didn't. You got some more correct. That would have been if you got nothing correct.
That's pretty good.
This thing's all slow right now, but where's the do you? I think here's
this
the
is incredible look. Podcasting as we speak.
Yeah. Here we go. So if you can see this shirt, it's a guy. It's like a 8-bit guy squatting, saying, "Do you even lift, bro?"
So that's, all right, I'll take it.
Yeah, I think that's the one because I'll show you the shorts after. You can make your choice after, but that'll do it for the game of what will Billy get for his birthday. Again, happy big fat birthday to big bad Billy Biceps, the bad boy of Twitter. But we'll get into all the intro in just a moment.
Well, if you talk to the average teenager of today and you ask them what it is about pop culture that they like, the first thing they'll say is the beat.
Get yourself addicted.
Welcome into the pop culture pile driver. Get addicted to the content. I am Jason Rossi. Can be followed across all social media platforms for laughs, giggles, and stupidity at Jason D. Rossi. You can follow our show here at Pop Culture PD. And when you do, hit that follow button. Please give us a little follow. Have some love. Spread the cheer. And when you do, it'll instantly make you more celebratory of other people's birthdays. With me, as always, my tag team partner in the podcast sphere. He can be followed across most social media platforms at BillyD2411. But on Twitter, which he gets booted off for being such a bad, bad boy, he gets spankings by adult film stars. He is at Billy Yee 2411 over there. You can check out his OnlyFans for the very special Billy's Big Balls birthday for the low, low price of just, what was the lowest price for that cane? $4.95. You also get a cane neck gatler to protect yourself from the germs and watch Billy do freaky things on OnlyFans. Again, that is Billy's Big Balls birthday on the OnlyFans. He is Billy D. What's going on, man?
Hello. Yeah, it's my birthday, and I pretty much worked the whole thing. So I've had better.
Fun. We should have celebrated your birthday more on Saturday. It was a big, big boner on my part. We got together with the cool kids of the DSG, the socialites, those that want to be seen and not hide. Not the cowards, but yeah, we had a lot of fun.
Basically just the Dork Podcast and Fryer didn't make it.
Yeah, it's true. And Shine.
Oh, Shine, I think, really wanted to be there.
Yeah, I agree.
I think Keith might have wanted to be there too, but Keith seems adverse to messaging. So,
I'm not going to say it here on the pod. I'll tell you after, but I shouldn't really even tease anything. But he's not a big fan of consistent messaging. But he's also not a talk on the phone. He's a strange cat. Nice guy, strange cat.
So real quick, just a quick aside. I know we're already aside to high heaven here. I respect that more than anything because when I have a good back and forth with somebody, every once in a while, they'll end it with just like a like of your text. You know how you can do that now?
Yeah.
I don't take that as an insult. I think that's the greatest thing ever. It's like, all right, we went back and forth for like 3-4 texts. You like mine, and that's my like, all right, we're done. And then if I do see you, that's like, all right, I'm done.
You know,
if you respect that. Yeah, oh yeah. You and Fryer send me voice messages.
I love
it's been a while for Fryer. I fucking hate them.
I absolutely adore them. I think I can get all of my points across, not have to type or make any mistakes, and it's safe on the road or when I'm going for walks. I love it. I do it to everybody and nobody, and I mean absolutely only one person I know that voice messages me back. I probably send voice messages to like 20 people on the regular. One person will actually do a voice back.
This is Fryer?
No, I don't voice. I've done it to him like here or there, but no, I don't text with him too often. It's actually former producer cohort of mine, Andy from WEEI. He's a He's actually the one who turned me on to the voice message. And once I found out, I said, well, I'm never texting again.
But like once it goes over a certain point, your screen goes black and then you have to re-listen because you can't skip to where you were.
Oh.
It's annoying. All right. So, I have to be like paying attention to it and be like, all right.
Okay. So I should do 30-second clips. Got it. Yes. Okay. Learning. I'm learning. On your birthday, as we get older, I have to learn. All right. Mm-hmm. Feedback. I'm all about it. I'm open to it. Constructive criticism. But yeah, I'm a big fan of that. But yeah, some people just not really into communicating. It's a very strange thing, especially those that live in the communication world. But Bill, today being that your birthday, it would be great for those that are listening to tune in and to subscribe over on iTunes. Leave a 5-star review. Give Billy some love for the outlet of the podcast. You can check us out across all podcasting forms, including our three friends and in India as a part of the Ghana outlet. Where anywhere you find your podcast, hey, Alexa, listen to Pop Culture Pile Driver. And if it plays a song, that's cool. But then ask it to play the podcast. We've had mixed results on that recently. Yeah. If somebody else releases any song called Pop Culture or Pile Driver, we're screwed. But with that all being said, Bill, it's your birthday. You get to pick the topic. What did you go with today?
Guardians of the Galaxy, the first one, volume one, I guess. It was my real foray. I know what the word is, foray. Yeah. It was my first introduction, basically, into the MCU. I had not seen a single film until this one, because I was just kind of like, eh. Like, I liked Batman as a kid, and that was basically it. And I saw this in the theaters, and I was hooked. Because it had everything that you would want. To me, it's a modern-day Star Wars. Has the same exact kind of cast and template to it, basically. Killing worlds, you know, cool, you know, what's his name? Not George Harrison. I'm thinking Beatles for some reason. Harrison Ford.
Yes.
Like, you know, Han Solo, you have a Chewie type character. Basically, you have two Chewies in one with a furry little guy and a giant guy. You know, not technically a princess, but a big guy's daughter. It all works so well together. It's just one of the more enjoyable movies that I can sit down and watch at any moment.
Plunk it down, put your ass on the couch, and let's turn it on. This is a good one now that obviously it's been 7 years since it's been released. And yeah, it's on like the TVNTs, the TBSs now. So sometimes I'll just be flipping, catch at the middle, and you're like, ooh, I'm in. I don't even care about commercials. The IMD information for Guardians of the Galaxy is a group of intergalactic criminals must pull together to stop a fantastical warrior with plans to purge the universe. This movie stars Chris Pratt, Zoe, Zeldana, Dave Bautista, Vin Diesel, Bradley Cooper, Lee Pace, Michael Rooker, Karen Gillian. Oh, she's amazing. I don't know how to say this guy's name, so I'm just going to skip it. Didn't have to say that. John C. Reilly, Glenn Close, Benicio del Toro. This movie was released on August 1st, 2014. Billy, you've done so well with quizzes. Let's just do this one quick. What was the price of gas on August 1st, 2014?
322.
Very close. 356. Tight up there. What was the number one record in the United States?
2014. I would really probably be out of it, but I guess like a Katy Perry type of song. Maybe like Last Friday Night or something.
Good guess. No. It was the only song that I can fully take credit for. The radio station I worked at the time adding to the playlist because I was a big fan of it. You're going to laugh now. Magic Rude.
Mm.
You don't know that song?
I mean, if I heard it, I'm sure.
Why you gotta be so rude?
Oh, God. What a terrible song. That was like we've definitely done this year before because I think Lucy was able to guess that once.
Yeah, she did hit one. I do know that. What was the number? Well, remember the name you just said. What was the number one movie before Guardians of the Galaxy?
Katy Perry?
Lucy. A movie named Lucy.
Oh.
And there was only one champion in WWE at the time. No other major promotion was yet out. Who was the WWE champion? Let me remind you, we saw this person win it in person.
Oh, John Cena.
John Cena. He won Money in the Bank a few months before on the summer there. He went on a little bit of a run before Brock Lesnar squashed him. Ratings for this film, Bill. IMDb has an 8 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes, 92 for both user and critic. That's one of the better. Metacritic, 76 out of 100. Google, 89% of people approve. Box office, Guardians of the Galaxy earned over $333 million in North America and an estimated $436-39 million in other countries for a worldwide total of $773 million. The film came third highest grossing Marvel Cinematic Universe behind The Avengers and Iron Man 3. How crazy is that? Now, I know this movie didn't come out with a lot of fanfare to start, but my God, the fact that Iron Man 3 at this time was the number two most, financial, it just shows the skyrocketing of this franchise.
Yeah, I mean, it just kind of ticked up. And I remember seeing the previews for this very vividly at another movie. I don't even remember the movie I was at. But I remember seeing the lineup scene as like the little introduction to it. And I was like, all right, I'm in. It was the only other movie I ever remember seeing a trailer for and being like, I'm sold, was Superbad. And that's it. Like, I saw it and I was like, okay, I'm going to this fucking movie.
Bill, this is a very interesting topic to go into. Like, what best trailers? Like, what are the greatest trailers, at least for you, like memory? Because there's a few that stand out to me. Green Lantern, call me crazy, but I'm just a huge Green Lantern fan. That movie sucked. The Hangover was a huge one for me because I just remember seeing that thing getting promoted. And off the top of my head, that's an interesting topic to maybe get to in the year of 2022.
For me, honestly, it was the music in both of them. Like the music in that one and like the lineup scene was kind of cool, but the music in Superbad was Panama, which is one of my favorite songs. And I was like, all right, teens trying to get laid to Panama. Let's go.
Love it. Some critical reviews for this film. The Daily Telegraph's Robbie Collins said, a brand new summer family blockbuster this may be, but it plays by old half-forgotten rules, trimming out the clutter and cross-referencing for snappy, streamlined Saturday cartoon fun. Right there is why I hate writers.
Too much. Too much. What are you doing?
What did he just say?
Nothing.
Like, what the hell did he just say?
A lot of nothing.
Kyle Smith of the New York Post had a negative response to the film, comparing it to Howard the Duck and Green Lantern, criticizing the dialogue, villains, soundtrack, lack of suspense, and characters of Quill, Rocket, and Drax. This guy stinks.
This guy could fuck off forever. Honestly, like, I think Max says, fire him into the sun. I don't, like, if you want to criticize the villain, on rewatch today, and I watched it probably like 3 days ago too, it was one of those things where it's like, all right, Ronan, he's fine. He's not like, he has a purpose and he's not the heavy, he's not the main boss, but for this movie, it's really not about him.
I agree. I will say I had no real overall issues with him. There's a lot of biblical references to what he does. He seems threatening enough. He gives me enough pause to be like, oh, he's doing some crazy stuff there at the end when he actually gets the Tesseract, what we believe he does for a moment. There's some great suspense. But
I kind of love the whole, all right, you're trying to get this for Thanos, and then you get it, and you're like, all right, this guy's got nothing at the moment. I have this. I could probably take him. Fuck you. I'm going to do my own shit.
Yeah,
I kind of like that.
Me too. It's the underling, like, we are wrestling fans. You're a big story guy. That is a big part of it. Say there's a champion who has a click or a stable, and the second in charge gets the title shot. And you're like, all right, soften him up for me. But he's like, well, I have a title shot. Maybe
a heel turn within the heel stable.
Exactly. And that's the stuff that I liked about this. So I didn't have that issue. I just feel like, when I read some of these things, it just kind of, it makes me shake my head. Maybe they wrote it like knee-jerk reaction in like, you need this.
They were just trying to make a headline. That's it.
Well, clearly. Director Steven Spielberg, I thought this was interesting, said the film was the superhero film that impressed him the most, as it does not take itself too seriously. He felt that he had seen something new in superhero movies from this film without any cynicism or fear of it being too dark.
Which is great. Yeah, it's spot on. And this movie is brilliant, and we'll break it down obviously in a minute.
Yeah. But
from the word go, they know what they're doing. They know the storytelling, they know the structure of story, and how to, like, as it didn't take itself seriously. It's probably my 20th watch today. I was tearing up at the moments they want you to tear up still. Yeah.
Great. There's a lot into this movie. In 2007, Guardians of the Galaxy was featured as one of the top 100 greatest films of all time in Empire Magazine's top 100 greatest movies. And it is the highest MCU film on that list. Again, 2017, so before some of the releases of maybe a little heavier hitters. But I can't disagree. I have right now, you know, we'll get into like what happened in this movie and then our stuff. I think we should add that a little bit more. But where do you have this ranked in your MCU rankings? Do you know
Spider-Verse is outside of it, and that's that's one or two of my favorite superhero movies. This is one for me. This is my hands down favorite. Endgame and Infinity War would probably be 2-3, and I know how you feel about those films. But
no, only one of them.
Everybody likes Infinity War. Who could not? So I'd probably go this, Infinity War, Endgame. So one would be this. It's just a beautifully told story from start to finish. And I'll just put this out there right now. Like, they call it the save the cat moment. So, like, it establishes your hero. Kind of everybody gets it at some point, but the way they right off the top, it's, you know, Peter's mother's dying. You know, they give you the plot device of the tape and a kidnapping in like what, 2.5 minutes? Honestly, it's so quick and you're already like, all right, I'm fucking in. Like, he doesn't shake his dying mother's hand, like, and that comes back around at the end. Like, everything comes full circle in this movie, and the way they set it up so quickly to have you already like, I was already emotional 90 seconds into this movie.
Yeah, this is a big, you know, this is the James Gunn. We've seen him in multiple movies since. This is my first introduction to really what he could do. Yeah, obviously, we'll call him Billy Gunn for this sake, who, by the way, is having a hell of a run right now in real life. Billy Gunn's like 50-something years old. What a physique. Google him. But yeah, for me, Avengers Infinity War is my number one. This is my number two. Like, this is my number two when it comes to the MCU. This movie is amazing. Fun fact about this, my wife one day, I forget where I was, but I was out. I think it was at an event or hosting an event or something. And she texted me saying, watching Guardians of the Galaxy. Don't like it. I don't think you will either. We literally got, once I eventually sat down, because Kevin, our friend Kevin, used to always tell me, like, the music, you're going to, I'm like, I've never seen it. Like, it took me a long time to get to this. But once I did, it was like stupid, dude. I'm talking stupid. Like, I fell in love with this film. I think this movie is incredible for all the reasons we're going to talk about and for all the things you've already said. And I talked to my wife, like, what were you talking about? Just, I don't know. I was probably in a bad mood. Probably in a bad, okay, great. So when you're in a bad mood, know not to listen to any of your thoughts.
And honestly, it's such a weird take because if you think about it, this is the best introduction for anyone into the MCU because you need no prior knowledge at all. You can sit down with a stranger or a stranger to the MCU and just watch this and be like, if you like this, we got a lot more for you. So if it's not as good, I would argue none of it's as good, but like it's of the same vein.
So this movie was like the, you know, obviously Iron Man 3 had come out after Avengers. It kind of reminds me of where we're at right now in the MCU. Now, there's a lot of podcasts, the Dorks, the Mac and Goose, and even Changed My Mind to a Degree, and all the hot guys about hot flicks and banging chicks. But I feel like we're in that same position we were then, now, where you're just getting like characters I've never heard of, I'm not overly interested in, but I don't know if we're going to look back and, I mean, it doesn't sound like it, I haven't seen it, but like, are we going to look back in 7 years or 5 years or 3 years and look at the Eternals as this like awesome movie or Shang-Chi?
No. Shang-Chi was, I haven't seen it, but I've heard good reviews. I've heard third act is bad, but to the point of the third act. So I don't know. Maybe this, I'm assuming this was probably phase two.
This is phase two. Yeah.
Okay. Because Ragnarok kicked off three, right?
No, yes.
Three. Whatever. We're not as deep into the stuff as
where the stages are. I could tell you when the Attitude Era ended, but I couldn't tell you when the phases.
Yes, that's us. So we're right now in stage four, which is basically like you tell your stories in three acts. They did theirs. The you know, crescendo was Endgame, obviously. How fitting. Technically, and now you're rebuilding people and franchises. And I feel like, you know, they went a different way with what's the new one there?
The Eternals.
The Eternals. This to me can't be topped from a standpoint of like a standalone MCU movie. It's set the standard, and Suicide Squad, the new one, pretty good, but it just lacks the heart. And obviously, they're criminals, so these are outlaws too. But there's just something different about this movie than most movies you'll come across.
I think this movie just does a really great job of storytelling from front to back that I think is really important to this. I think obviously having, I think Kevin Feige was in charge with this one too. I know James got directed and wrote and all that, but I think like, this is where like they started to really understand, I think, where everything was going in the bigger picture. A lot of Thanos teasing. We already had seen him a few times, but this kind of really involved him with his family. We got to know a little bit more about him. We started to see his underlings. I don't know. I think that this was like that next step. But if you just take pluck this out of the MCU, it's just a really good movie. And let's get right into it, Bill. We've done enough talking about it. We've kind of dinked around. We can get into some of the synopsis, but for the most part, bunch of bad guys band together, kick some ass, take some names, don't necessarily like each other, but they have to find that dislike to get into, what is, did you just go dark on me? Sorry, that's a visual thing and I shouldn't have mentioned it. Anyways, Bill, curtain jerker, opening question. Did you like Guardians of the Galaxy?
Yeah, it's probably my favorite action adventure movie of all time. It would be in my top five, Mount Rushmore. It's right up there with Clue. It is an utter delight every time you see it.
Completely agree. Couldn't say anything different aside from the Clue part, but that's just me, not you. I think that is an amazing film. I love it as well. It's going to be hard. There's going to be hard criticisms, I think, from us here. Casting, Bill, what do you think of the casting?
Again, I mean, Chris Pratt at this point, was this his first legit breakout starring role? I loved him in Parks and Rec at this time anyways. And when I saw him doing this, they even referenced it in Parks and Rec, like, oh, you lost a lot of weight recently. He's like, oh, I stopped drinking beer. He's like, how much beer do you drink? A lot of beer. So, like, it's just one of those things. So he's just perfect. Like, he is the perfect cast lead man for it. Everybody else, like Zoe Saldana, is awesome. You can't even really recognize it's her. But even to the, you know, I thought Ronan was fine for who he was. And then you look at all the other people, like their voices for the most part, and Dave Bautista, brilliant. They hit on pretty much everything. Even the Novacore people were good.
No, I agree. And to go back to Chris Pratt, now a little controversial news time, but at the time I remember I used to read a lot of Men's Health and he was like the cover guy for like weight loss. And obviously these guys, they always say, oh, everyone's got a trainer and all this stuff. Take that aside, he had great advice in this Men's Health magazine. He basically he was the first one that turned me on to wearing sweatpants and sweatshirt when you work out. Mm-hmm. He's like, you just want to sweat as much as you out. If you're overweight, he lost a ton of weight. He got ripped. He had his old workout circuit, which whatever that can be, you can do your own work there. But like, he was the first one that said like sweatshirt, sweatpants, cardio. He's like, do your weights, keep your sweatshirt and sweatpants on. Don't worry about having the fashion. Don't worry about looking good. Just, you want to sweat. And it's so fun. I've never really taken all that advice, but at times I did. And it is so funny how like you read that stuff and you go, yeah, okay. But he felt, and I'll still go back to that magazine that you obviously can Google it now.
You want to remove DNA.
It was just so funny to see somebody who also went from like a complete comedy act to this has that baseline. He's mostly comedy in this film.
He's an action hero.
But that's it. Exactly. He took that step. And to do that, and he also talked about it, like, if I did not lose this weight, if I did not accomplish these goals, I would not have gotten this role.
So I find he even said it's the best thing you can do for yourself, period, which I would agree. And I'm slowly slipping out of that with not work.
Pecs look good. Pecs look good.
I'll make him dance for you. But and even like Yondu, I thought, and he's been kind of overcast. He was even cast in
Suicide Squad.
But he is perfect. Perfect in this movie. Everything that he does, the little whistle, somebody else obviously could have pulled it off, but I don't think anyone else could have mastered it like he did. Groot, I mean, I kind of love when they give these guys these I am Groot, and it's Vin Diesel, and you don't even fucking know until they tell you. Bradley Cooper didn't know it was him until like probably a few years ago, but he's great.
Oh, he's really good.
He sells it. I didn't know it was him. His voice obviously a little tuned up, cartoony style, but fantastic.
And I know I'm a fan. We could also do a podcast of best wrestlers and movies, but I think Dave Bautista is absolutely fantastic. I think it's a good way to like segue a sports entertainer or someone that is used to like speaking and good at promos, which he was a little underrated on his promo, especially when he became a heel. But like,
give me what I want.
Yeah, well, that was much later in RIP, but to his wrestling career. But he was fantastic in this film as well. Like in the small role that he had, like that's what I think was a special sauce. You just named the three, forget Vin Diesel, but like Bradley Cooper being a stud actor, like right on the brink at this point, getting a gimmicky role where he kind of talks like this, but in his voice, which sounds much better than what I just did. He's really good. There's very few holes. Like you say, if you want to get into the villains, Ronan, man, I don't even like, not a starring performance by that, but like
he's fine though. He's over the top. He's what he should be. Even the guys they cast in the prison scene, that really like guy kind of looked like a skinless werewolf. He looked like a hairless cat. Like that guy's creepy as fuck. That was great casting. Like they crushed all Love around. It. Nobody felt weird. Nobody felt out of place.
What do you think, Bill? Speak in spell. What did you think of the acting and writing?
So I always say a stroke of the pen, I mean, can fix everything. And there's no plot holes for the most part here. Everything felt natural. The only thing I didn't like, and I'm glad they kind of did keep him and he's a great character, is Groot. I'm always a big believer in kill your characters. Him sacrificing himself for the whole team would have been great. I know you need him later on and stuff like that, and that's why you have him and the baby Groot, who doesn't love a baby, baby Yoda, all that kind of stuff. I would have liked that, but writing, 11 out of 11. Acting, there was like one or two things, like there was a couple of Zoe Saldana things. I was like, meh, not crushing it right there. But other than that, like everything was what I would want it to be.
Yeah, I think the writing, just to speak on that, I think the acting kind of covered. The writing, like they plug things back together. You mentioned earlier, you kind of teased like the hand. He never reached out to his mom. He was a young kid who was like not really fully grasping the moment, overwhelmed. His mom, at the tie-in why he's called Star-Lord, which I feel like doesn't get enough play in this movie, by the way. Like, I don't think the mask and stuff doesn't get enough play. But the Star-Lord, because his mom wrote him a note saying, "You're my little Star-Lord." That's what she called him. I should probably start calling my son that. Aside from the fact that I'm scared I'm going to die. And then he goes into an intergalactic war, but he gets to bang a lot of hot aliens, which I guess is
cool. Well, you won't die. You're basically a Celestial.
True. Well, if I say it, then my wife is celestial.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which wouldn't doubt it. She's been acting a little weird lately, but no. So I think that, like there was like those times where then at the end where he has to actually reach out to touch, they all have to kind of combine their hands.
So well written.
Just very well done. And you don't even, I didn't catch that first time around. I didn't catch it until somebody else told me. Like I had to read, like, I love going back, like especially movies like this that I love and adore. That like, what are the things I miss? I just enjoy the visuals and the watching. Then when they tell you this stuff, you're like, oh, God damn it.
That was something I realized from the rip. And, just the little things that they leave right from the beginning. How important the music is. The gift that he gets. Then he gets, opens it at the end. There's just so many little things throughout this film. I mean, Drax was written brilliantly as a guy who doesn't understand like fucking sarcasm or anything. Oh, he's a completely literal person. And like even like the stuff with Rocket, like you're a raccoon. Well, that's what you are, man. Like there's just everything about this movie is charming or heartfelt or well done. And even the robotic girl, what's her name?
Nebula.
Sister. Nebula. She's great.
Oh, she's fantastic. In this film, not as good as she becomes. She becomes very important as well, but she's good. She brings a little bit of heel character. She does a face turn. But the other thing that I really like about this film that like I didn't capture right away, and we're both fans of the show Lost, a lot of daddy issues in this movie. Everybody has some form of like scorn history.
All cowboys have the best daddies.
Seriously? Well, I think...
All cowboys have the worst dads.
But all cowboys have daddy issues, but yes.
That's it. I said it also like a collar daddy, so that was weird.
Yeah, I thought you were reading porn titles. But yes. But yeah, so they... that's one thing I think that was really underrated also about the writing of this film that is really impressive. Like they were all ripped apart mentally, emotionally, and even Rocket talks about it. I didn't ask to be torn apart and put back together. Like that's
a great scene.
Yeah, that's
and it seems like it's a throwaway scene where they're gambling and it's just fun. And that turns into an emotional moment.
It does. Speaking about things that we can turn the emotion around, Bill, the music, hit my music, the music used in Guardians of the Galaxy. Let me just run this down.
It can't be beat. It can't.
Soundtrack, 12-track soundtrack. Hooked on a Feeling by Blue Suede. Go All the Way by The Raspberries. Spirit in the Sky by Norman Greenbaum. Bill, if our friend Anthony's dad wins the lottery, what's the first thing he's doing?
erect a statue in Malden to Norman Greenbaum, because that's where he's from.
Moonage a Daydream by David Bowie. Fooled Around and Fell in Love by Elvin Bishop. 10cc's I'm Not in Love. What a tune. I Want You Back by the Jackson 5. Come and Get Your Love by Redbone. Cherry Bomb by the Runaways. What a freaking tune. One of my favorite scenes in the film.
And such a great scene.
Escape, the Pina Colada song by Rupert Holmes. Ooh Child by Five.
By the Five Stair Steppers.
There you go. It's just steps, but same thing.
All right, and fair enough.
Ain't No Mountain High Enough, Marvin Gaye. Dude, and this movie takes place in the 80s, technically, is when Quill was a kid. That's when the tape was born, so it's usually 20 years prior. These are all 60s, early 70s songs. Nailed it. They plugged the songs in, and the fact that it's all part of the tape that he's actually listening to at times, mwah, genius.
I mean, it's the best use of music in any movie ever.
So we talked about that last week. We reviewed Home Alone. Got some good responses, by the way.
Thanks. It was good.
I still think that might be my number one just because of the way. But this one, like, it was set up to be this way. Maybe I'm being foolish, but I feel like Home Alone has the edge. In my head, just me.
The only reason I'd say no is just from, like, the get. It's a plot device in the movie, and they use it so well. In the first – well, not the first scene. Technically, the second scene after he's abducted, when he's going to find, eventually, an Infinity Stone. And he's just dancing around, and then, all right, you know, like, hey. It's just such a fun scene. By the way, Redbone, Come and Get Your Love, popular cake-cutting song, because I do a lot of weddings. Great cake-cutting song for those of you. We can be one of my next marriages. I'll use that. I just love everything about the music used in this movie. And the other thing I'll say about this soundtrack, it is the ultimate soundtrack to plug and play at a party of varying ages. Because young people will still like be like, all right, this is at least like fun music. And then everyone like from our age and up will know it and not be offended by it. Like, you can play this at a party, like a Christmas party, a holiday party, whatever you want. This will get like no complaints, start to finish, every song. And same thing with two. And maybe we can draft a three. Maybe that can be one of our things, like draft the next Guardian soundtrack. Like it's just a lovable soundtrack.
It's really strong. I can't disagree. I think my difference is it is part of the plot, where I think where I like Home Alone is that it's not actually part of the plot, but it just fits everything so well. Mm-hmm. Nonetheless, either way, we're drawing, you know, tall man here, like, you know, instead of saying shortest, you know, but, you know, I don't want to be offensive here. Bill, you want to take a stab at acting out a scene here?
You know what? I didn't actually write one down, but there was something that popped into my head when I was going to write it down. It's like, you're an honorable man. Like, well, I didn't say that about myself. People have said it about me, though. Like, and I just love the way Chris Pratt plays that off, because even in Parks and Rec, as his chubby self, he still kind of acts like that, like, aloof, handsome guy. Like, dummy slash thinks a lot of himself. So, like, that was one of my favorite lines. But there's just so many good ones. Probably the other one is, like, nothing goes above my head because I catch it. I have incredible reflexes, or whatever the actual line was. This one I actually skipped out on. But there's just so many good ones.
But what would you say is the legacy, the most memorable part or memorable thing from Guardians of the Galaxy?
It's the soundtrack.
Yeah, I had trouble. I was trying to find something else, but I don't think he can touch the soundtrack. I think it's the music. I think it's hard to even argue that.
And that the other thing that I would say is it's the movie that you could show somebody and be like, do you want to watch all of the MCU movies with me? Here's the introduction. Although you're starting with one of the strongest.
That is one part of it. I was actually going to say, like, modern day Star Wars element that we kind of talked about earlier. It like, I'm not a Star Wars guy. I'm not saying I don't like them. I just never went in far enough. I've seen most, not the new ones, like the new ones. But like this to me, like, excites me. Like, I think it excites a lot. Like, if this had nothing to do with the MCU, and let's just say Guardians 1, Guardians 2, and we'll just say there's a Guardians 3, because they probably would have done one if it was a standalone.
No, there is.
Well, I mean, they would have done it already. Like, I mean, just say take this out of the MCU and the lineage of all what it was, and you just put these, like, characters in their own universe of their own. Like, that would be a pretty damn good trilogy. That would be, I think, a really strong movie. So I think that's part of it, too, where it's, like, has an element of, like, a modern-day original style of Star Wars.
Yeah, 100%. And I am a weird Star Wars kid because, like, I wasn't really in that realm, like, growing up. And my only connection was I was babysat, like, co-babysat. So when I went to go be babysat, there was another kid that was babysat with me, and we'd, like, rotate houses.
What a time. There
was, like, this there was one lady who was friends with my mom that was friends with my mom's friend, and we both had young kids, and she would babysit us both. So when we ever at his house, all we would do is watch Star Wars. And we would also play Castlevania on Nintendo.
Oh, shit. Tough game.
What a game. Yeah, it was, though. The Medusa level? Oh, yeah.
That's an interesting – I like that game. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Also, we'll tie into something we're going to be doing next month. Bill, for me, we – okay, so that's our legacy. The then, now, and forever has Guardians stood the test of time.
It's this probably is the easiest question. You could watch this movie 100 years from now, and I think it would still be great.
I can't quite – I'm not going to quote that, but I would say it's definitely – you're definitely stretching it for at least another, I would say, 10 years. Easy, and that puts it out.
Oh, I think this is like because it's timeless. Because the soundtrack is already when this movie came out, 40 years old?
Oh, yeah, easy 40 plus years. That's the only thing I worry about, though, is that if you go 100 years from now, Bill, it's an artifact. It's like watching baseball in 1912.
No, because there's lyrics, it's not like classical music.
I know, but it's going to change. Times they're going to be a changing.
Yeah, well, civilizations usually only stand for like 250 years, and I think we're knocking on that door anyways. So we might be gone by then. Yeah. So as far as we're concerned, I think we'll stand the test of like our lifetime.
Okay, thanks. That was a really bright way to end this. Bill, what would you say? Anything else you need to say about Guardians of the Galaxy or anything else for the pull apart?
Oh, I did actually write it down. I wouldn't say it. People say it about me all the time, though. When it's like you're an honorable man. There's just so much, like, great stuff in this. And I think one of the best exposition scenes in movie history is when they're arrested and John C. Reilly is breaking them down. And then you just get basically, like, their character bio. And it's just a nice way early on in the movie to be like, all right, here are the people, here are their character beats. And it's, like, a perfect way to do it because he's explaining it to another guy in there. I love the scene where he's going to get back to get his Walkman. There's just every scene can kind of be sectioned off. A lot of the fight scenes are really well done. And, you know, Groot's that. There's just like any point in this movie you can pick out and I'll talk to you for an hour about it.
Yeah, it's a great point about the expedition of the characters because I forgot we didn't mention that earlier. That was another part of the acting. I was going to say the writing and stuff. Like, that's great because it's easily done, but not always done like right. Without being over the top or stupid, mm-hmm. Like so in your face and so like, okay, we get it. You're trying to like they did it in such a fun way. And also I think having someone like John C. Reilly, who's a fantastic actor and the way he explained everything, I don't know. I think that was really good.
Yeah, if you're going to do an exposition dump, don't do it with like a character just talking to another character. And if you're going to do it that way, like they did it, do it with like the Quill rolling up the middle finger as they're like describing these different people. And mm-hmm. Then you get their whole background. Because these are characters, they're not Spider-Man, they're not Batman.
We don't know these people. I've never heard of Guardians of the Galaxy before this. I didn't know about the comic. And when I heard the movie was coming out, I laughed. Just like when I heard of the Eternals. I'm like, they've gone so far. Where are we going here? Mm-hmm. Obviously, seems like varying results, but I will catch up because, like I said, I'm digging Hawkeye, so I got to dig back into where the MCU is going. And Spider-Man's being released, which I'm sure will have big ties into what's next. Hope that movie doesn't suck. But yeah,
I got 100% out of like 50.
That means nothing to me. I love when
I know
we got a bunch of tools in our group here. They're like, oh, it's got 100% after view reviews. Like, who gives a crap? Who gives a crap?
I don't know.
I'm not in on that.
I think I'm in on it, and it is the movie I've been most excited for in the last 2 years. So
real tough billing there.
I'm pretty boned up to see it though.
No, me too. I'm in. Well, I guess I was also huge into Halloween. There was a couple movies that had been released, but they've all sucked. But with that being said, I think, Rotten Tomatoes, I don't really give two craps what users or people think. I just want to go see a film. I care a little bit about what friends and family. But with all that, the only other thing I would say about this film is that it is just such a complete piece of work. It, like, we kind of teased it before, but, like, you just go all the way around. I think, like you say, the villain's good enough. At the end scene, I think it's a nice climax to this film. I like introduction of like little things that tease into the MCU as well. We really haven't talked too much about how this movie ties in, but obviously we have the, You have an Infinity Stone being a huge part of this. You have...
oh, we get the whole exposition about the Infinity Stones.
The Collector. Yep. The Collector finally kind of gives us a little bit more into like what this is. I've always said I want more out of that character. I'm really upset about what's kind of transpired with him. I think he could have, I don't know about a movie, but we're doing all these shows. We're getting She-Hulk and all stuff. I think a Collector show and going back into that like time would have been really cool. I expected it. I didn't get it. Not that
I'm not. Howard the Duck.
Howard, the weird looking Howard the Duck. I wanted the old animatronic looking little duck guy who I think was just a small little fella who in a costume, which was amazing. No disrespect to Howard. You know, I love him. Bill, what would you rate this movie 1 out of 11? You slut.
Again, I'm an easy grader and I hate to give back to back 11s, but I'm going to do it. It's an 11. It's a perfect movie.
Yeah, it's hard for me to not. Again, I'm just going to be difficult to be difficult. I'm giving it all away for free here. It's a 10.5. It's right off from being perfect. It's right off from being perfect. Genre-wise, I think that's why. Like Home Alone, I said it. We broke it down why. I think this one is right up there. Just a couple little quirks for me. But it's hard. These are basically perfect scores. This is me not putting it on the ballot for the Hall of Fame. But it doesn't matter. It's still going to get a what? It's still going to round up to 11. So we give it the hard 11. What do you rate Guardians of the Galaxy now 7.5 years almost later since release?
Feels so weird, too.
It does. It doesn't feel like it was that long ago. At least I don't feel like it was that long ago, but we rate it just about an 11 out of 11. Let us know what you think. Subscribe to the pod while you are doing that. You can tweet at us at @PopCulturePD. We'll probably have some sort of feed there and some videos telling you about this junk. Oh, I had the wrong thing to do. Nope. Aside from hitting wrong buttons, Bill, this week I was jumped on with Goo for
that was great.
For Jingle All the Way. He literally texted me. He's like, hey, you want to talk about this? I heard you're a fan. I said, yeah, sure. and we did it. And like 15 minutes later, it was magic. But yeah, I was on with him. Mac, I guess, was, feeding the homeless or something. So we reviewed Jingle All the Way. You can check that out on the Mac and Goo podcast. Other than that, still digging Hawkeye. I have not caught up. But every time we watch, me and my wife are so in. I think it's a fantastic film. I'm a TV show. I love the Christmas element to it. I love a countdown. Like he's trying to. I don't know where you're at. I don't know where the show's at. But like, he's trying to get home for Christmas, and like it's killing me because I just think about being a father and being away from your kids and a lot of movies like this. But this one, he's a freaking action hero. He's a goddamn Avenger, and he's working with a understudy. I think it's great. I really dig the show.
Oh no, I mean it is. Again, I think I made the thing last year, not last year, last podcast, that WandaVision was like an allegory, spoke to me directly, kind of like this movie a little bit. It hit like my wheelhouse of like great music, great storytelling. Because sometimes I feel like in the MCU, we get wrapped up a little bit too much into, is it progressing the story? Are they doing the characters justice? And that's why I think this one is so particularly good, because it's just a movie you knew nothing about. And James Gunn just was like, I don't even know if he did the characters justice. It was just a phenomenal movie with great storytelling where Hawkeye, I think, is going the right way. And I kind of hope they kill Hawkeye.
I've been seeing people post that. I don't. The guy's a dad of three. He's sacrificed so much. He did some dark things. I don't want to see this man die. And especially, I want this man to get home for Christmas. I want him to – that's the hero's journey. There's no reason to kill this guy. The LARPing scene was amazing as well. Just throwing that
out. Yeah.
That seems awesome.
For me, what I've been watching and – I want to work with this guy one day, and I'm going to try it soon. Okay. Do you know Jason Banks Comedy on Instagram?
I do not.
So a lot of people use his videos and do like a big head, and like they react, like they act out his stuff. He has like a Randy Evans, a Derek. He has a bunch of characters, and then he's like the dad to like little kids, basically.
So he has in some moments it's him, and then other moments it's like him with a big head as a kid.
Yeah, so I'll retweet it from the PCP account. Hopefully he has a Twitter. I just follow him on Instagram. But it's Jason Banks Comedy. And literally, this is all I've been watching. I've watched all of his videos. I think he has 867 posts. He's at 1.1 million followers. He got popular during quarantine by just doing like quarantine videos where like one shot's him as an adult. The other shot's him talking to his son. And then his son has a friend. I forget. I think it's Chad and Blind Adam. And like, he's created such depth in these characters that like, it's fucking hilarious. I'll send you a video after this. I'll tweet him out. He is amazing. So,
all right. Well, give it to us one more time. What's his name again? Marcus
Banks. Jason Banks, former point guard for the Celtics, who once hosted a night at Fire and Ice that I went to. Charlie Cook. Jason Banks comedy. Real quick aside, too. I went to a dinner by myself the other night to treat myself for my birthday. Went to Morton's, sat at the bar, had a steak, some potatoes. It was probably one of the greatest nights of my life.
I have
as sad as that sounds.
No. We've talked about this, I think, before in this podcast. Danko, you told me you sat at the bar. If you sat at like a table, I would have felt bad and been mad that I didn't get a call. But sitting at the bar alone with a cocktail, some good food, maybe having a little conversation with a bartender.
Oh, I was talking to other people, and you're in it. Never do that.
But you were in. When you're in there, like, it's, you know, and you can choose not to be. That's the best part. Back when there was a Not Your Average Joe's in Medford, not too far from where both of us lived at one point, not together, I used to go there all the time, right off of the 93 here in Boston, where it was quick to get to, about 9 o'clock. I used to be like, where am I going to go? I want to sit down. I want to like chill. And I used to go there quite often, and it is a really nice experience. There was something about doing things. We've talked about this many times here, but just to reiterate, doing things alone that you normally do with others, movies, dinner, going to the bathroom, you know, there's something really liberating and fun. And you also get to like find, maybe this sounds deep, but like you find out a little bit about yourself. Like, shit, like I don't need to always have somebody. And like sometimes you don't want the company of others because you don't know what company is going to bring.
I will tell you, unless it's a big movie event, like if a bunch of people wanted to go see Spider-Man, sure, I'll go see it with you. Because I think we'll all respect the fact that it's a big movie. But seeing a movie by yourself is a phenomenal, fantastic experience.
Well, that's the thing. Like right now for Spider-Man, like I don't have any purchase tickets. I haven't had it planned yet. I'm taking some time off, obviously, for the holidays. I'm trying to think of maybe doing bringing my nephews. But my sister's being a little weird about it. So I'm like, I'm either going like that or one day I'm just Don't tell Courtney. I'm like, I know she would want to see it, but like, she's not going to like cry if she doesn't. I'm like, I might just say deuces. I'm going to a freaking movie. Like go to a nice matinee show, get me a trough of popcorn and just call it an afternoon. I think this is 2 hours and like 40 minutes too. So I might need two bags. A lot of popcorn. Bill, what is going on in the DSG? This week in
the shared universe.
So I believe that Dork did Ernest Saves Christmas. Right. Looking forward to checking that out. Change My Mind did the Muppet Christmas Carol Exit Survey, which if you haven't seen it, you're a literal Grinch. It's a great movie. I've Heard It Both Ways is taking the week off because I'm going to Miami and me and Joe couldn't figure out a thing to do on Thursday and I'm leaving Thursday morning. And then Mac and Goo did the 1989 classic Aliens.
Good one.
Probably threw a news dot in there as well. TLDR talked books. Then we have our streamers, Shine Time, Dr. Joe, and Arvon D. And then, of course, Hot Guys on Hawkeye. I actually got into a conversation the other day where I said, like, Hawkeye, and people thought I said Hot Guy.
Oh, so Goo was onto something.
He was.
Hey, way to go, kid. Way to go. Every so often. Goo, underrated for his ideas. Quirky little guy, but very, very good at his ideas.
I also helped him out with something the other day, and I used green screen with it, and I tried to fold the green screen up, and it took me 25 minutes, probably. I'd say probably like 7 minutes of funneling with it, and I was just like, hold this, tape it, put it in my car. I brought it home today. Like I had it in my car for like 2 days, brought it into my kitchen and tried to figure out how to close it. I've closed this thing 50 times because we use it all the time at work. And it's always just like doom, doom, doom. You don't know how to close it. It's like probably 10 feet tall or like it's enormous. It's like a giant king size blanket. And like, it's always just like, boom, you like twist it around and it like folds into shape. It took me no lie, a half hour. To figure out how to get this thing. I refused to look it up online. And I was like, I'm going to remember how to do it. And like when I figured out how to do it, I was like, I'm an idiot. It was one of the most, I almost was like, I made a commitment to myself. I'm like, I'm remembering how to do this. I'm not looking it up. I might have canceled the podcast tonight. If I could, I'd be still be in my kitchen right now.
Happy birthday to you on that. It's funny you bring that up because I had a little tent that was where I'm currently in my downstairs here, this little studio area. Somebody got my son for like the summertime. It's a UV ray blocking. He's too big for it now. So I'm like, how do I fold this up? I Googled it, everything, watched videos. I swear to God, this thing just wouldn't fold back the way it did. Mm-hmm. So you, that's a piece of like your life in a way and your equipment. For me, this is a hunk of junk in a sense. I'm not throwing it out. So I just folded it the best I could, put it between two cases of like clothes and threw it in the attic.
There you go.
So it's folded. It's probably the wire's probably going to snap at one point when I hear a weird noise upstairs. But yeah, just there's nothing more frustrating than that. Like you can put things together, but putting them back, and it's like, wait a minute.
So what it was like, it feels like it hooks into three things because it like it folds into a circle. And like I kept trying to like twist it. And then finally I was like, oh no, you just take the top, the bottom, bring them together. And then it just like wraps into itself. And I was like, I almost like I came so close to just like taking like a pair of like pliers, like those like needle nose, like cutting plier things and just snapping it and just fucking putting it back in the. I was like within like minutes of doing it.
It's a good thing you did it because I've been there, Bill. I've done those things. I've snapped things and just said, well, I'll figure it out later. Because once you put it in, you're not thinking about opening it and seeing what you just damage you just did. As we're wrapping up 2021, we got a couple more pods before the year is out. We're going to do a Christmas party playlist face-off. I haven't had a playlist face-off in a while. We're going to do the top. Oh, this is going to be a very emotional one. This is going to be tough. I've been listening to a ton of Beatles and Christmas. So a lot of just wonderful Christmas time and happy Xmas there by John Lennon. But a top 11 Beatles songs. Beatles are hot right now. Get back.
You don't want to do a draft. You want to do a top 11 between the two of us. Because birthday will be my number one.
Well, that's
just letting you know that.
Okay, that's fine. I already know my number one. It's my number one song of all time. I'm not going to spoil it. We could do both, Bill. We could do a 2-in-1. We could do a top 11. I don't know. Does that really make any sense?
I think we do a draft.
Draft.
I think that would be more fun for us.
All right.
Because I think if we did a top 11, like it would be like I'd have 11 different songs. It would be like when me and Wes did.
That's a good point. I think
if we could just each do 11 of our own and see what it looks like. Because me and Wes did the Kanye West thing and we each did 11 or 10 and he did 10. And literally when we did it, we only had one same song out of 20 songs picked. It was kind of crazy.
You know what? I think you're right. At the end of the day, too, if we're going to do a top 11, I think we invite like a bunch of people to like vote in on it, too, because that's like we did with the baseball movie. So, yeah. OK, we'll do. So we got a couple of kind of drafty vote upon topics coming up. Also, check out our at Pop Culture PD on Twitter, because I'm going to make a little something. Maybe need help, but I think I can do this, especially knowing you're going away. I want to release our top 11 Christmas songs from last year. I feel like when people see stuff like that, they get knee-jerk reaction, get a little fired up. We're not doing the stunty like what Barstool does, but it's what we actually thought. So you can see kind of what we did. That was released last year. But those are going to kind of be – we're going to wrap up 2021 with those. 2022, we're going to get all into Scream because that's – we're going to do our preview panel. We'll do a review on that. We have my birthday topic, which I'm thinking of. And then – this is something Bill came up with a long time ago. It's finally time to execute. The end of next month, we're going to finally do – I think we're going to do these in waves for each system, but we're going to do the build and arcade, and it is going to be with all of the DSG. So we'll do the four main pods, so it's votable, and we can talk to, like, Joe and Shime and get them involved, maybe hosting and or commentating kind of like a draft, maybe like the draft board. So I don't mind pointing us around, but then after a pick, maybe get Shime and Joe's knee-jerk reaction to said picks, and we'll go through all the major systems of our lifetime, and we'll have probably, I'm guessing we could do 11 categories because there's enough of that. We could talk about everything, can be multiple in each, but nonetheless, a lot of fun stuff to come to. Appreciate everybody who finds this podcast, listens to this podcast, shares it with their friends. Please do leave a 5-star review over on iTunes. It would really do us a great favor and know that you care even just the littlest bit. Billy, I hope you enjoyed your birthday topic pod. Hope you have an amazing trip to Miami. You better be listening to Will Smith on your descent on loop. It's about 3 spins. I've landed in Miami, so I know it. Also, fun fact between us, our fantasy football playoffs playing each other. And I am not looking forward to it. My team has
1 seed versus the 8 seed gnarly. Pretty good.
all, I think it's like, I think the numbers are in favor. It's been, this is the 17th playoff, so it'll be 16 years of history. Mm-hmm. I want to say it's at 500 at best. 500 at best, and maybe the
18th. If not worse for the one seed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And the one seed, I think, is only won once or twice in the history of our league.
I think just once.
Yeah, I think Jimmy a couple years ago, Slimeball. But yeah, so we'll see what comes of that next week. I'm either going to be really depressed because I've had a very interesting season, but I've just continued to win games, and I think the luck, it's either going to keep rolling, or usually when it comes this time of year, we'll find out. But we shall see. Billy is only. I've won one title. It's been 10 years. Billy co-won a championship once. That was fun. It made us change a lot of rules. But hope anybody who is a fantasy fanatic, all that, good luck in your playoffs. Again, appreciate everyone listening. Do something good for somebody else. Make sure you're spreading the love on Billy's birthday. Pass it forward. He's going to be getting a wonderful Do You Even Lift Bro t-shirt from Pro Wrestling Tees. I'm probably going to order something for myself because I'm a selfish piece of garbage. Bill, any final words for our fine folks?
Slap it on the biscuit.
Frank says hi.